Hey everyone, welcome back to the Eating Rice Podcast. As a reminder, please follow us on Instagram at eatingrice_podcast. We really appreciate your support. So today, I'm going to start off a little bit differently. I was recently at a Ratatouille party. Now you might be asking me, what does that mean? Well, it was a party based on Ratatouille the dish and Ratatouille the movie. And basically what we did was watch the movie Ratatouille. And just as the food critic is about to take that bite of Ratatouille, we kind of paused everything and we all like got ourselves a plate of Ratatouille that we made before the movie. And we were going to all kind of like eat a bite at the same time with the food critic. So that was the party. It's pretty cool. It was a novel idea. I didn't come up with it. And truth be told, I kind of showed up 10 minutes before that scene happened. I wasn't involved in making Ratatouille. but yeah, it was a nice experience. But it kind of got me to think, like, what is your kind of Ratatouille dish? And for our audience as well, like, you know, it's curious what each and every one of yours is, and something maybe fun to think about. But Joel, I'll kind of like pass it over to you and ask you the question, like, what is your Ratatouille dish? Is it like a dish that like you'll just take a bite of and just make you think about childhood and reminisce about all the good times?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think it's, I don't know if you've had this. It's very much a Cantonese thing. Sure, yeah. It's satay beef with like instant noodles.
Oh yeah.
You've had it? Yeah.
Yeah.
This like an iconic like breakfast item. I think like even in Vancouver now, it's kind of hard to find. Like, I don't know a ton of places that you can still get it, but like in Hong Kong, that's like what you would eat. And when I lived in Hong Kong, that's like what we have like at least once a week. Like often like before church, because we would be like scrambling and like we wouldn't be able to get like eat breakfast at home, so scrambling and then try and get a quick breakfast right before church. And so yeah, that's what I would always order, like satay beef with.
How fast could they serve it? Like, I can just imagine it, like just 2 seconds.
It's so fast, like a couple minutes and then it'll be back out. But what's amazing about this is that like the beef is always so soft. It's like incredible. And like it's not like, for listeners that don't know, this is not like beef that's been like stewed over time. This is almost like kind of like stir fried ish and then
they it's just saucy add though
a lot it's of saucy. Sauce but it's like almost like a steak cut sort of thing. Thinly cut, but not like super thin, but still like a meaty cut. And then they put like this like Cantonese satay sauce over it, and then you make instant noodles and then you put that on top of the instant noodles, and it just like mixes well with like the broth from the instant noodles already.
Yeah,
so that gives it a lot more flavor, and they got beef in it with it as well.
So, and that's your like toss hunting order most of the time, or that's like special, like is that like your go-to when you're at like a toss hunting, like a Cantonese diner
or breakfast, specifically breakfast? Okay, I wouldn't get it any other time.
You can't. I don't even, would they even serve it to you?
Yeah, I don't know. Most of the time, no. But yeah, definitely a breakfast for sure.
It's funny that this is the a dish that is not home cooked. So
I don't. No, I mean, maybe it's a little bit of a disrespect to my mom. Like, I just can't think of anything off the top of my head that like brings me back to my mom's cooking.
Well, it's because it's like, it's not like your mom doesn't cook. You know, she cooks a lot. Cook. She's a good cook.
She cooks well.
You know, you're. You pick like a dirty kind of breakfast
item. Instant noodles
with MSG beef. No, I respect. And so wait, you know, are you able to have this often now, or is it kind of also one of those things that's kind of like rare, so it also just has that place in your head, in your heart?
I think it's become more of that idea, that Ratatouille dish.
Right.
My head, and like for me now, because like I don't even remember the last time I had it. Like even the times that I've gone back to Vancouver, it's hard to even find it, and even if I find it, it's like not worth having it, because I like just know that it's not gonna be as good.
Yeah.
Or it's like now it's a way more expensive.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always weird when you pay like, I don't know how much it is, like $8-$10 out for like instant noodles. Like it just
Exactly. Well, now it's more. Like in Vancouver,
the
it's
more.
Like some places are almost like $14, $15.
Oh my goodness.
Just for instant noodles.
Yeah, that
it's
doesn't
ridiculous.
That doesn't feel good. Cool. That's a good one. I'm actually sure that a lot of Cantonese people would feel the same. And
yeah.
It seems like it's a lot better and more popular than the macaroni in ham soup. But I feel like that one is more iconic, which I find is weird. Like people
it
can
is more
think
iconic,
about that.
But I really am not a fan. Because I just feel like also the flavor, it's not really there. And I'm also not a huge macaroni person.
Yeah. Well, it's always overcooked too.
It's overcooked, yeah.
It's always overcooked.
And the ham, it's just like, it's just ham. It's
like, cool. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's mine.
For me, it's, I have a hard time describing it, but it's basically pork hock. So in Mandarin, zujiao. It's the pig pork hock. In Taiwan, in Taiwanese like culture and cuisine, like it's just braised with soy sauce, something sweet. Often when I was growing up, my mom would use Coca-Cola actually as kind of the kind of sweet counterpoint. And I don't know, I think like as a kid, so mine's this home cooked. You disrespectful son. And you know, like as a kid, you just crave meat. Like you just get a little bit more excited by meat, you know, like your palate was not really refined and that's just what you wanted. And so whenever we had like pork hock, I knew I'd be getting like a lot and a lot of meat, and that always excites me. And I just love the taste of it. I love the skin. I love how soft the meat was. I loved how savory it was. So like whether you had it with rice, and then in my case, I really love to have it with the longevity noodles, the really like thin ones. And it just was this like perfect, soothing, warming combo that I think especially after I went off to college, I would have less and less. Like it would only be like once or twice a year whenever I'd be home. And even, yeah, like in the rotation of things I would cook, I think for some reason it would just, I don't know if we ever cooked pork hock. I made it, maybe did it once or twice.
Hard.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a lot.
It's right? A lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's heavy. It's hard to store, right? Like, because half of it is bones and stuff. So you'd like have to debone it, or you just have a container full of bones with a couple of pieces of meat and it wouldn't fit in our fridge. So yeah, and it's always kind of been that special occasion meal. And again, Taiwanese custom is to actually have pork hock for your birthday. And so in my household, and I know for my mom when she was growing up, whenever you'd see pork hock, it would be like someone's birthday. So that also has kind of that like positive connotation with the food that I really enjoy. So yeah, pork hock.
I used to not like it at all. Now
Whoa. It's
kind of growing on me a little bit, but I don't love it.
I kind
of think that there's like not much meat in it, on it. Like there's just so much bone.
Yeah.
And it's so much gelatin and just gooey and, you know,
it's slimy. Yeah.
What I just wish that there was more meat on it.
So you can't. So maybe it's like the restaurants. I don't know where you're going to have it, but there's different parts. So if you can get the actual foot, which I get, but my mom also gets kind of like the calf part as well.
Okay. A little higher up,
and there's a little bit more meat. And so she'll buy like a pack of each so that for the people who like a lot of skin, then get that. And for people who like a lot of more meat, they can get that. But you might, maybe like in the Cantonese restaurants, like sometimes you guys have it in the bowl, like in the clay pot.
It's just so much bone and just
trotters. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just strip skin. It's so fatty.
It's good for your skin, like your skin, you know, the gelatin.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just so hard to eat.
Yeah. No, it is. And it's like for the same people who would like chicken feet, they for sure probably would like the pork trotters. And if you don't like one, you probably also won't like the other. But so kind of moving on from that, here in Canada, nothing happens end of November, but I know for you down in the States, it's turkey season.
Yeah.
We've talked extensively about pumpkin pie, so maybe we'll spare that part of the conversation. But yeah, talk us through your plans, what you did, and how you were able to tackle Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving this year was very different than other years. I actually didn't have a big meal. I think earlier in the week I had like a, it wasn't really a pot. It was part of like our connect group, like house church, where somebody like just actually made a bunch of food and then we just went and ate.
Nice.
So that was pretty good. But for actual Thanksgiving, it was on a Thursday. So that's a Thursday in the US. And that day I actually just ended up hanging out with one of my friends and we made steak and it had some sides. It was just the two of us. Yeah, it was just so much easier. So the morning of I went and played football with some friends and
that's very Thanksgiving. That's very Thanksgiving. Football?
Have you heard of this?
Yeah, this is my first time. Especially like in the New England area, like it doesn't really get more cliche than
that. I just like, for me, like it just seems like the tradition is just like sexist. You know, the whole point of this is that like the women are at home cooking while the guys have nothing else to do. And so they should go and play football.
Yeah. I don't know what you want to say. It's true.
And so, you know, we just kind of like fed into that toxic masculinity and continue that tradition this year too.
But why steak? Just like easy, you know, bit of a special occasion meat as well. Just...
Yeah. Well, it was also just easier to do steak than turkey for like two people. I thought about doing, so this one year we did like turkey breast. And then that was like really good. Just the two of us. Remember that year?
Yep.
And I thought about doing that, but then I just couldn't find good turkey breast anywhere that wasn't like frozen. And so I was just like, oh, let's just do steak. So we ended up doing dry aged steak from Whole Foods. Price was not bad. It was like 28
okay.
a pound, which is not bad, I think. But I think the flavor wasn't quite there.
Right.
Yeah, so my friend, like, he's pretty into steak, and so he said that Whole Foods, on average, would, like, dry age their steaks 35 to 45 days, but then the variability is like, really high depending on the Whole Foods. So I think we just got one that wasn't, like, that long.
So this is a very practical question that I think might help a lot of people. A couple months back, I know you had quite an indulgent night of Italy steaks.
Yes.
And so how do the two compare?
Yeah, the Italy steaks definitely had way more fat than the dry aged steaks. But I think the flavor was a little bit more beefy in the dry aged steak, even though it wasn't like, it didn't get to the point where it was funky, like cheesy. It wasn't there yet, but definitely like a more beef flavor. And I think it was like, I kind of want to say it was more tender. It was like more tender without being fatty.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So Whole Foods, you're picking Whole Foods.
Whole Foods. Yeah.
Right. And I'm assuming it must be a little bit cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even on sale. It was just like the full price. Right. Whereas Italy was 50% off already. But also the cut was different. We got ribeye. Whereas at Italy, it was, I think it was like New York strip and Denver cut.
Yeah. Well, I never understood why there are any other cuts of steak outside of like ribeye. Now, look, I get all the interesting cuts. That's cool. Right. But like, in what world is a New York strip loin good? I'll say it. I don't understand the New York strip loin. It's always a little bit tough.
I would never order it. And I would never voluntarily buy it.
Right. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. No. You know, you have a point. You have a point. It's just less flavor, less fat,
less marbling. Yeah.
Less marbling, less tender usually.
Less tender. Yep.
So I don't know if somebody knows why you would get a New York strip.
If someone prefers a New York strip, I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah. Because... the filet mignon, I get it.
Yeah. 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 Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Some people don't like fat. So that's fine.
And it's still tender. It's nice. If I've had a really nice filet and I loved it. You know, it's not my first choice, but especially like, you know, if you have a group of people out at a steakhouse, it's kind of nice to have, you know, one or two bites of a fillet, just like for some contrast and diversity, right? Because I'm thinking, I was in Prime Seafood Palace, so this really nice steakhouse out in Toronto, and they're like prime, the most expensive steak they had on the menu was this like bone-in strip loin, New York strip. And it's okay. When I was eating this, I was like, oh wow, this is really high quality beef. I wish I could try the ribeye version of it,
You should just told
I should have. But it's literally like it was their most expensive steak, right? This like strip loin for like four people. You know what I mean? So it's like when I was there, like almost didn't understand why it was that versus like a bone-in tomahawk, which is basically a bone-in ribeye. But yeah, okay, sorry,
You think
that
there's a
was a
difference in the flavor?
Yeah, there's less
I
flavor
haven't had
in.
much. Oh, okay.
I feel like there's less flavor in a New York strip. Okay, sorry. Let's get back to Thanksgiving. Okay, so you had this kind of like friend day. You kind of had some steak. Anything else about the meal that was Thanksgiving-ish, or was just kind of like a nicer meal?
Okay, so we did do Brussels sprouts with
Yeah.
bacon and maple. So that's
Classic.
classic. And then the other thing was I did beets with candied pecans that I candied myself in the morning. Those
So
were actually
good.
so good. I
Those are
added like a little
delicious.
bit of nutmeg and cinnamon
Yeah,
into
so like
it,
little spice nuts.
a little spicy. And
Yeah.
then like I also kind of like slightly oversalted the caramel, and so it actually turned out to be better because it wasn't actually that sweet. It was almost like
Yeah.
kind of savory,
Right.
and it works so well with the beets.
The roast, you roasted the beets too, I
I roasted
assume.
the beets, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really good. And then I also did some shallots. So I like flash like saute them, and then like I added apple cider vinegar. So it was also like kind of like pickle-y in a way. With the beets, it was just so good.
Oh, that sounds
And
fantastic.
then for carb, we just kind of cheated. We're like, oh, let's just do yam fries. So we got some frozen yam fries, which actually did the job because then you have sweet potato,
Yams,
which
those
is
are your
like pretty
yams, yeah.
Thanksgiving, but you also don't need to go through the hassle of like peeling and cutting and then doing all that stuff.
Did you have a air fryer or just throw those in the
Yeah, I just
oven?
air fried them.
Yeah.
So
No,
I think it was like a very minimal, quick, like I was surprised how fast we got everything done, and it tasted fantastic.
Of course, of course. No, a couple months back, in Toronto, we were having a steak night, and that's also what we did for carbs. We just bought some like nice fries, threw it in the air fryer, and you can flavor it. You can like if you want Parmesan cheese,
Do whatever you
rice,
want.
some garlic, whatever it is. But it's actually a huge hack to get. The hardest part of most meals is the carb. It's like takes the most time. I mean, like you think about like mashed potatoes,
So much
right?
time.
It's kind of a pain. Yeah, so much time. It's a pain in the ass. And it's like if you can just like remove it from your prep, it saves so much time and effort. But yeah, that's cool, man. So you mentioned beets. Sorry, this is I can go off of so many tangents with what you just said. I've met so many people recently who don't like beets. Is this a thing? Like, have you seen something
I've met
similar?
these people. These people, I think these people have just like not had roasted beets or have
No,
had
but they
good
have.
beet.
But they have.
They have?
They have. They have. Yeah.
It's not roasted well. Because I've had like, I know people that have had like canned beets, and that's
Sure.
nasty. Like, I would not have
For
that.
sure. Okay. But the
But
flavor
I
of
don't
beets
understand.
doesn't change. Because I know what you're saying. It's like sweet. It's caramelly. But there is an earthiness. Like where I'm almost going with this, I kind of get it. I think I get it. Okay, so that's day one. What happened day two?
Day two, oh, we made pasta with some friends. That was really good on the Friday. We made cavatelli at home,
Got the
and then we did
semolina.
the semolina. It's honestly such an easy like pasta making thing to do. Literally takes like 10 minutes to make the dough, let it sit for like 30 minutes. And
Yeah.
then you can start rolling it out, and like you don't even need a pin, like a rolling pin. That's the
Well,
thing. It's like so minimal, and it's so good.
it's really good. So cute, very
Yeah,
like al dente.
very
No, so
chewy.
the reason why I'm laughing at this is because during COVID, Joel and I bought like a 20 kilogram bag of semolina flour, like Costco, like not, you know, consumer Costco. Like we ordered this from like their
Is
business center.
also.
Massive. And I think we used maybe 10% of it. But what gets us is that even like the whole bag was like $17, something like that. And we're like, we made maybe 10, 15 bowls of pasta each for each one of us, like 10, 15, like two people portions. And we're like, it's already paid for itself. We used
Yeah,
10% of this bag.
totally.
But
Just
it's
throw the whole thing
more,
out.
you
Like
throw it
after
away.
two bowls, it was already
That's what I was laughing because I was like, we just had such a chuckle at that because it's so ex like pasta is just so expensive out when you know what it takes to make it at home. Okay, and I'm sure it was fun, right? Getting people
Oh
like
yeah, it was so
involved,
much
just like
fun.
growing the
Like
cafeteria.
it was their first time making it. So it was also like easy and fun. So I think it was just great.
And what was the sauce?
So we made some sort of like a pork like ragu, kind of like a little bit of pulled pork sort of thing.
Very
We just let
nice,
it
very nice.
simmer and like got really soft and put it back into the sauce. It was really good.
Awesome.
Yeah, pretty easy.
Great. I love that you said that because actually later on in the podcast I was going to bring up my thing, which is also about pasta, because I don't know if you saw, I also recently made pasta for the first time in forever. And this is how long it's been. I actually grew up having a pasta machine at home because my parents like thought that they could make like Chinese noodles with it. Anyways, long story. But I literally lent it to my friend 15 years ago, like a long time ago, like in high school. We tried to make pasta and then he's kept it ever since. And very recently, like last week, I went over to his place and I brought it back. But in the process of bringing it back, I also made pasta. I didn't do the semolina. I did the egg pasta and I went all in. I put nine egg yolks
Oh my God. For how many
in the
portions?
for the two of us.
That's ridiculous. That's too much. That's too much. That's too
So
much.
nine
How
egg
was it not
yolks.
like soaking wet?
No. It's good. It was nine egg yolks. You don't let me finish and one whole egg. And it was about 400 grams of pasta flour.
Okay.
And
Quite a bit.
yeah, it was really good. I had double zero flour and I followed like a cold recipe online. But when I made pasta before in the past, like we never had a roller. So we would just maybe made cheese. I think the one time we made egg pasta, it was like for lasagna. That was a little simpler. But at least from my experience in the past, pasta has always been like really hard to work with. And so I think this time it was really nice because I could really like we made agnolotti and we also made tagliatelle. I just felt like the dough was a lot more pliable. I don't know if it was the yolk or just because I laminated it the right way. And like when we ate it, it had this chew that I think I've always been missing from pasta, but I think it's like an ingredients thing. I think it's the mix of like a lot of egg yolks. It was like super rich, but also the double zero flour. But yeah, I also recently made pasta in a very long time, and it was so much fun.
What sauce did you do?
Yeah, so I had a bolognese that I had in the freezer, just like a classic, you know, pork, beef, and veal bolognese. And then for the agnolotti, we did a acorn squash filling. So I put a little bit of maple syrup. Lots of nutmeg, parmesan, salt, and pepper. And we finish it off with some brown butter and some toasted hazelnuts.
Oh, that's
Yeah, it was good. And I messed up. Look, I messed up right in the beginning because I put in too much filling. And even towards the ends, like they weren't perfect. And it just made me respect, I think, going to like Italy or like going to an Italian restaurant and seeing them make it. It looks so effortless. Like when you see them do it, like there's this like flow and beauty to it, right? Like it just looks so simple, but like when you're making like it's hard to make these the same shape, you know. It's like it's hard to close the filled pasta before it dries out because it's not like Asian when they don't add water. You just have to work quick enough where once you roll it out you can just close them in time. And so yeah, it made me also like respect the kind of like pasta makers that much more because it's not easy. And but there's also like a very addictive and therapeutic quality to making pasta as well, where like you get in that rhythm, you're just like cutting it, you're just moving pasta through. And
yeah,
I don't know. I'm gonna do more. I'm gonna do more.
Agnolozzi is so small too. So I'm so surprised that you were able to make it by hand. It's a lot of work.
It was hard. It was a lot of work. It was hard and took so much longer. But you know, it also like is enough. Like I would say of that pasta recipe, probably a quarter of it, if we were just we made into agnolotti, and that in of itself almost made us full. Maybe it was the squash filling. But yeah, we ended up having like probably a whole portion that we didn't eat. Like I made it to pasta, but we just kept. But we probably half that dough was just like tagliatelle. Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
Wow.
Did your friends enjoy the cavatelli?
Yeah. I think it was their first time even like having cavatelli in general. So it's really good. I also forgot how much it like puffs up. Like it really like grows. And so when we made it, I was like, damn, like this is not enough. But then it like almost like doubled in size.
Yeah.
You have to make them small.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was really good. Yeah, that was day two. And then Saturday, went to Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
I love this place. Like, I love Portland.
Why don't you move there?
Maybe my favorite, like, city in New England. Like, I definitely, like it more than Boston. Like, the food is, like, better.
Yeah.
By far. So there's this, like, cafe bakery place called Tandem Coffee. And their location used to be a very old gas station, probably like the 1950s, a gas station.
Right.
And now it's like retrofitted into a cafe. Anyways, their biscuits are really good. The coffee is good. So it was just bumping. It was cold. It was a very cold day, but I was just like loving it so much. I was like sitting outside having coffee, eating biscuit. And then they also had this like squash olive oil cake. Which I was kind of skeptical, but then it was really good. Like it wasn't like too sweet, but it had like this like little icing on top as well. It worked so well.
Wow.
But yeah, Tandem Coffee.
So you went on a bit of a day trip.
Yeah.
Portland, Maine. I've also heard good things about Portland.
Yeah. The food. There was also so much food when I was doing research that I just knew that I couldn't try all of it. Another highlight was this Spanish cider and spirit bar. And so I was just like randomly looking on the map for places to go, and then I found this spot. I was like, oh, spirit and cider, oh, let's see if they have vermouth. And then guess what I found the vermouth that we were looking for in Portugal, which is like
amazing,
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, for the listeners that haven't listened to that episode, it's the episode in Lisbon, I believe. Yeah. Where we met this vermouth. It was a meeting. And the bartender was like, we love the vermouth, every one of us. And then the bartender was like, yeah, you can't get this anywhere else. So it was like impossible. It was absolutely impossible.
The word he used was impossible, for sure.
Impossible. And here I found it in Portland, Maine. So I was having the time of my life. Like, and they also had the olives that we were having that night too. So that was, it's just like
perfect.
Perfect.
And you bought a bottle.
I bought a bottle too, which was honestly, the pricing was not bad. So I would want to go back for sure to that spot, because they had like other vermouth, and apparently, so this vermouth is called Astobiza. They have a wine. Astobiza has a wine.
Whoa.
I wanted to try, but I just like, I can't. I can't drink this vermouth and then have another glass of wine. It was just like too much. So I wanna go back and try that. And then they also had like other pinchos that were like so good. We got the bocarones. That was like beautiful with the olives, and there was like citrus with the olives.
Ooh.
It was amazing.
So what I'm hearing is, when I go to Boston, I really should be going to Portland. How far is it? How far is it from Boston?
A little over an hour and a half drive.
Is there like a train or no?
I think you can take the Amtrak.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, might be the vibe.
But once you're there, I feel like you still kind of need a car to get around.
Sure.
That's the only thing.
That's sounding a lot more exciting than Boston, man.
It's so good. I mean, there's also the lobster roll is better. We had lobster roll, and it's just like sweet. Yeah, the lobster's sweeter.
Jeez.
And they stuff it more for a better price. It's just better. I don't want to say the better. And there's so many breweries. The beer is good. Yeah. Also, the food, I think, is just more affordable for some reason. It's a little bit cheaper. Like, the beer was a little bit cheaper.
Right.
To get beer.
Yeah, it sounds like you got paid off in Portland. Like, who'd you talk to?
Some good spots. Honestly, some good spots. There's another oyster bar that I didn't get to go to, but I really want to go. That's there. And so, some good stuff.
Sweet. Yeah. That sounds like a good Thanksgiving. Like, you got the mix, like, a good dinner, you made some things with some friends on a bit of a day trip. Like,
yeah,
sounds full.
It's very full. Very full. No, it was good. It was a good break. Definitely a good break.
Yeah. Nice.
But so this is also something I want to bring up. So our Thanksgiving is different. Like, in America, it's, I guess, what, the third week of November. Whereas in Canada, it's second week of October.
Yeah.
And so, like, the weather is completely different, and, like, what happens afterwards is different. Because, like, in Canada, you have Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, you still feel like it's fall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's still, like, fall. You still do fall stuff. It's, like, before Halloween. So you still, like, you know, do pumpkin stuff. Whereas here, literally, this weekend, Thanksgiving is over. And then Monday, you see, like, all the places, like, Christmas decorations, like completely change over to Christmas.
Right.
Crazy. Like, they have, like, front yards completely set up with all the lights and stuff.
Well, I guess it's also, it could be, like, part of what you do on that Sunday off or that Saturday off.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Like, there's part of that transition. What do you like better? I'm curious. As someone who's experienced now both, I have my thoughts.
I think I like the Canadian one more. Because I feel like it's a little too cold now for, like, Thanksgiving. I don't know. It definitely feels more like winter than like fall. And I do want a little bit of time to transition into Christmas. Whereas right now it's too quick. Yeah.
I mean, I think the argument is that, like, Canada has it so early. We have it, like, second week of October. Sometimes it always sneaks up on you, even for Canadians, right? It's like, wait, it's already Thanksgiving every year. It makes the transition into fall very easy, but it also makes it hard to get to Christmas.
Sure.
Because there's nothing, right? Basically, till from October all the way till Christmas, there's nothing, unless you're really big into Halloween. But even then, right, from Halloween to Christmas, it's 2 months.
Yeah.
So I think that's the tough thing about the Canadian ones, but I would also agree with you. I just like the weather.
Yeah.
I like that it's really the start of fall instead of like the middle of fall. And I think people are generally still, like, riding the high from summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And possibly. So it makes it kind of a just more naturally joyous time of year. I don't know. It was white truffle season, or still is. And I just need to share this great experience I had. Are you laughing, Joel?
Oh, it's just must be nice to have white truffle, you know? What is it, like, $10 a gram?
Maybe more. You buy it at the supermarket, probably more. I don't know. but I think for all my list the listeners, it's just, like, it's fun. It's, like, it's cool to, like, okay, so maybe the meta thing we can talk about is, like, it's cool to, like, usher in seasons with food, right? So in Vancouver, a big season, we have a spot prawn season, and, like, it almost helps transition us into the summertime, like, right between spring and summer. That's, like, when the spot prawns come, and you're just, like, excited. You kind of, like, go into it. I mean, a transition food is, like, pumpkin for you, Joel, right? Like, it's fall time, pumpkin spice, like, August 31st or something, right? Starbucks starts promoting their PSL And so there's all these kind of like foods that help you kind of like think about a season. And then in January, there's like Chinese New Year's, all those cool foods that come along with it. And so, yeah, one of those foods is white truffles. Like, you know, like,
so what is that season? When is that? When is that?
So that starts in October. And I've had it up late into January.
Okay.
But I would say it probably peaks around like late November or late December. Yeah. And yeah, like truffles are this like naturally occurring fungi that you cannot plant. Like you cannot create this environment where it grows. And so you're really at the whim of Mother Nature. And there's different types of truffles, burgundy, summer, black, and of course, white. And my whole thing is, and like, please don't crucify me for saying this, but if you're going to have truffles, you might as well have the white ones because the other ones just taste like dirt. Like you want to talk about things that taste like beets, right? Like this is the, if you are eating black truffles, just go and have some beets.
This is so ridiculous.
No, it's not.
This is so ridiculous.
It's true. Please don't kill me. So that's, I mean, I don't want to talk about black truffles. Anyways, save your money and eat white truffles. And so it's white truffle season now. And I actually wanted to get into this restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant. They have a white truffle dinner. They literally host it once a year. And I couldn't get tickets, but it turns out they have kind of like an a la carte white truffle menu. And so I went a couple of days before their white truffle dinner where I know they load up on a lot of their white truffles. And yeah, I went with a couple of my friends and we ordered every single dish that had white truffles. And it was a really good time. I think a standout dish was sunchokes, deep fried sunchokes on top of a little bit of bechamel, just like a ton of white truffles on top. That was really nice. And then there's a type of pasta called tagliarin, which is like a thin egg noodle. And they just toss that in some white truffle butter and shaved white truffles on top. And then another standout dish was agnolotti del Plin. And it was agnolotti stuffed with a little bit of pork, ricotta, and spinach, and then topped with white truffles. Well, so yeah, it's just very nice. And there's something about eating white truffles that is euphoric. Like it's just, you experience things like, it's like this flavor profile that you can't, words don't do it really justice. And it's just heady, like it hits you and you just kind of like throw back. And when we were eating this, like the table beside us were like, literally they made a comment because they're like, cause we were pretty like animated. They're like, is it really that good? Like they were like asking us, they're like, yeah, it is.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I'd highly encourage people to at least give it a try once. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, what else do I want to share about it? Yeah, also another fun thing about truffles is that it's mainly from the Alba region of Italy, which is in the north, in Piedmont. And one of your favorite ones as well, and a lot of our favorite ones, is a Barolo, so Nebbiolo grapes. And like the two paired together is just an incredible experience. You know, you have the white truffles from that soil and also the grapes from that same soil. And it's just like, really what I'm trying to get at is that like God is really the best cook.
Region.
No, in the whole world. Like it's all about ingredients. It's all about ingredients, right? And if you think about pairing, like the best pairings are like just two things from the same place. It's that simple.
Yeah, it makes sense. Did you have Barolo for that dinner?
Of course.
So I'm guessing this dinner was quite expensive.
It depends how you see it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the expensive is relative.
Sure.
I felt that it offered tremendous value.
Okay.
I think it came out to like $150 a person. Canadian dollars. Canadian dollars.
And you were full.
Stuffed.
With wine.
I probably could have done without a couple dishes, to be honest. We were stuffed. I mean, we didn't just have the three. I had so many, like six, seven dishes.
Wow.
Okay. All with white truffles.
Okay. But yeah.
Right? And a bottle with wine. I think we split like half a bottle between the three of us. We just didn't need so much. Yeah, it was a fabulous time. And like, I've bought white truffles before, or I didn't, my friend did more specifically, and I helped eat it, but he spent like a very pretty penny on just buying it out. And that's why, like, when Joel was saying it was like $10 a gram, maybe it is, but they were saying each one of the dishes, they put 5 grams on each dish.
Oh, that's a lot.
Right. So they're cooking it, they're serving it, and they're shaving 5 grams. It's like, it's maybe even cheaper to have it at this restaurant than to buy the truffles yourself, make the dish.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. So yeah, I had a very lovely time. I just want to share that. Yeah. Folks should go out and try it. You have up until the end of January before the season ends.
I'll be on the lookout then.
You should. You should. Like in Italy, especially.
Yeah, But then, I'm gonna be. Well, I guess I can get the pasta there that they make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Splurge. Get the most expensive butter they have. That's like cultured and like rich. No, and there's nothing more you need to do.
Yeah, that's true.
There's it's seriously
just,
you nothing.
Just need butter and the pasta. That's it.
Exactly. And then just shave that truffle.
Yeah.
Glorious. You should do it before you leave. Before you leave.
Oof. very tempting. And then the other thing I'm looking forward to, because I'm coming back to Vancouver during Christmas, I'm actually looking forward to the Vancouver Christmas market.
Oh my god, of course you are.
I love.
Do you know how much it is? I don't think you'll go when I tell you how much it costs just to go in.
Wait, do you have to pay on the weekdays?
I believe so.
Oh my,
that could be wrong. We can fact check. It's like $20. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Just to go in, and then you have to go in and pay for overpriced food.
I know. I get it. It's like really expensive, but I've come to appreciate the fact that you need to pay, because like I went to the one in Boston and like you don't need to pay, and it's like so crowded, like ridiculous.
So you want to keep a certain type of people out, is what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's just like it's just a higher barrier, entry barrier, you know. But also the food is more Christmassy. In Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Really looking forward to the pork hock, because I had it 1 year. They do a full pork hock.
German
pork hock, which I haven't seen in other Christmas markets. Not that I've been to that many, but like the even Toronto one doesn't happen.
You might convince me to, I mean. Well, okay. What's nice about Toronto one, though, I think is very Christmassy, because they're in the
brick,
distillery district. Exactly. That's really nice. Like, I can't deny the fact that it's a vibe. Not deny that.
It is.
I actually don't know if I've ever been to the Vancouver one, because it's always like cost money.
That's the only thing.
$20, man.
You see them like grill it.
Okay,
like,
how much is pork hock?
I don't remember. I mean, now it's probably more than what it was before, but
oh my goodness.
I don't know. Like, maybe, I think it's still
that could be a vibe. Well, hot drink.
It's huge.
Hot drink.
And mulled wine, hot drink. Mm. Overpriced, obviously, but
sometimes that's for the vibe. I could be convinced. I could
do the job. Maybe, it's just like more. Like, I think the items are also more Christmassy than even compared to the Toronto one. Because I think the Toronto one, the gifts that you get or like things, it's like sometimes just random clothes, because there's just like clothing stores there. But like the one in Vancouver is like all like Christmas, like German, Dutch sort of like Christmas gifts.
Right.
Kind of cool.
I might check it out.
Yeah.
I think for me, you touched on a little bit what I look for most in the season, and I swear I'm not an alcoholic, but I love me my warm alcoholic drinks.
Okay, what are those?
I loved mulled wine, a little hot apple cider, a little hot toddy. I like eggnog, spiked eggnog. I know it's not hot. You can have it hot, sure. And then like a hot Irish coffee. But I think for me, I would not have it outside of like November and December. Even in January, it's just weird. You know what I mean?
Any of those? Like having any of those is weird?
Having any of those in not November, December is weird. And for some reason, it is in my head, it clicks to have like the warm alcoholic drinks in the of those winter months. And yeah, I really look forward to those. In the season.
I had hot mulled wine a couple weeks ago. Somebody made it for some like gathering, like fall thing. I mean, Lord bless her soul. Like, it was, I don't know what she did, but it was like so alcoholic. It was crazy. Like, I couldn't even like sip it. Like, when I bring it up to my face, it was just the fumes of the alcohol was just
Well,
rushing
because it's
through.
hot too, right? So
It was hot. It was crazy. I don't know how much like whiskey or whatever she put in. It was crazy. And this was like a church event too. I was like, what the heck is going on here?
He wanted you to feel the spirit,
Oh my God.
Did I tell you, I go to a church now where they offer real wine for communion.
Oh, okay. From the same cup or what?
Well, how is it from the, what do you mean from the same
Oh,
cup?
okay. So you don't do like
Well,
the passing the big. Have you
oh,
not seen
no,
it?
we're not drinking,
Pass
we're
the
not
big cup
drinking.
and everybody
No,
sips.
no, no. We still dip, we still dip the
So
bread and
you guys do dip.
Yeah, I dip.
You dip the bread into the cup.
But I still like the juice. I mean, it's not good wine. So I'm
Yeah.
just, dipping into the juice. But all right, so really alcoholic mulled wine. Maybe I should.
It's
I'm
not good. Like,
gonna.
don't do that.
Don't make
Like,
it very
don't.
alcoholic.
No, I think also she got like really dry red wine.
Oh no, you can't do that. Yeah, I
She got a
can't.
really dry like cab as well. And
And
so it was just like too much. Like,
I
way too.
mean, what if you did like a full bottle of a dry white wine, red wine, and the whole
Red
bottle
wine.
of like port?
I wouldn't put a full bottle in there, but that actually sounds pretty good.
That sounds pretty, and then spice it from there, and then you can adjust the sugar content. But it might be perfect.
It's gonna be really alcoholic though,
Oh yeah, of
because
course. Yeah.
the port wine's already like higher content in
Yeah.
alcohol, and then you're gonna put
Yeah.
more, right? You're gonna put
Yeah.
whiskey. That's what they do.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So yeah, and then you put the spices. The other thing is that like I think she put like a lot of spices, and then like she used a pressure cooker to heat it up, but then it
Ooh.
pressurized. So I
Oh,
think
so
it just like
really steeped.
overdid it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised in that it was still alcoholic. I guess the pressure cooker
It just
kept
kept
some
it
of the
all in there.
alcohol in. Yeah, well, okay. It couldn't evaporate, you cook out
It
the
couldn't
alcohol, now it's
evaporate. It
just
was just like
trapped.
all in there. It's just, and it had some of the fruit. Oh my God, I almost died. Like,
Said
one
eat one of the oranges.
of the oranges and the apples. It was crazy.
Need to start going to your church. Is what I'm hearing. Oh, all right, man. Well, have a great see your day. Thank you
Yeah.
everyone for tuning in. Go get yourself a cup of mulled wine. It's dust is the season.
Test the season.
All right, thanks everyone.